for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, here are your hosts, Mila Bain, Justin Fowler, and Alex Salomon.
Yeah.
What's up, man?
Yeah.
Comic Book Club.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And that's our man in the booth,
Booth Man.
First of all, I wanted to congratulate Pete for finally getting up on stage at the right time.
Oh, he nailed it. It was perfect.
Really? It's been a five-year battle, but we finally did it.
Always stop an audience and panic.
Pete, I hear you have an interesting story about work.
That's what I call a setup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I call a setup right there.
So I was at work.
Okay.
And this gentleman came out to me with a hat pulled all the way down and big sunglasses.
Ooh, sounds like a goof.
Yeah, and but I recognized his voice.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, it was Justin.
Was it me?
Nope. It was Patrick Stewart.
Oh!
Whoa.
Sir Patrick Stewart.
So, he was like, Pete, help me. I'm running from the law. I need some place to hide.
First of all, I was weirded out because he was standing up, and I was like, what's going on?
Oh, Professor X.
Yeah, there you go.
thinking of his years on Star Trek The Next Generation.
But that was funny because we were talking, and I was like, what do you get recognized more for, X-Men or Star Trek? And he was saying,
could you just sell me a computer?
I was like, no. So then I was kind of geeking out, and I was making him say stuff.
Really?
I can't believe
that's crazy. What did you make him say?
I was like, all right, say Magneto, and then say Eric.
Magneto?
And then I bet eventually made him say, get the fuck away from me. Right?
Yeah. Sorry.
Did you make him say that?
And then I made him say Weapon X.
One of Professor X's catchphrases is not Magneto.
No, but I just love his voice, and I wanted to hear him say that. Plus, it was in the moment. I kind of freaked out, but the first thing I thought of was Magneto.
You should have made him do all of his one-man
Christmas
carol.
Let me get to the good part of the story.
He's building towards something crazy.
He told me later he was going to have dinner with William Shatner.
What?
The two of them were sitting down for dinner.
He was pranking you.
No. They're good friends.
It's true.
And
good friends?
Yeah. And he said it was funny because he was like, Shatner's very eccentric.
He is.
Really eccentric.
He's really weird.
He just told you this?
Yeah. We were hanging out, talking. It was pretty cool.
What did he want at the Apple store?
He was getting a plug for his iPhone. He lost it.
Oh man.
That's crazy.
That's
Scoops.
Hit the blogs.
And then,
that's an exclusive.
And then I was like, so another X-Men movie? And he nodded.
Whoa!
No. Wait, really?
Yep.
He's not in charge of those.
That would be nice, I agree.
So you're saying that he's probably going to come back for something else.
Something else. That's what he said.
Huh? Filming what later with William Shatner?
Yeah. I thought they would just use that weird CGI Professor X.
Don't say that.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, that was my favorite one.
Well, that's pretty great. Was your life changed by this experience?
It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool.
Wow.
He was super nice.
Great. Guys.
That's exciting.
We have two amazing guests for you tonight. Patrick Stewart and Barack Obama. Actually, I do have two amazing guests tonight.
We're even more excited about the actual guests, Alex.
We're more excited about the actual guests. One of them is a performer at the Pit. The other is the senior editor for First Second Books. Ladies and gentlemen, Scott Eckert and Calista Brill.
Yeah.
Come on up, guys. Come on up. Please have a seat.
Guys, welcome to the show. Great to have you on. So, Calista, you are the senior editor of First Second Books.
That's correct.
You don't look very senior to me.
Well, I'll tell you a secret. I am the editorial assistant editor, associate editor, senior editor, executive editor, and managing editor of First Second Books as well.
So you just shout at yourself all day?
Yeah, basically.
Nice.
How many people are you?
Four.
That's impressive.
Weird.
What? I mean, I'm pretty familiar, not just because I have a large stack of First Second Books sitting right here, but what's the idea behind First Second?
Well, we were founded about 6-7 years ago by my boss and our editorial director, Mark Siegel, who basically wanted to introduce a certain new format for graphic novels.
Let me just fill this time. Oh, it's done.
Are we good? Should I keep talking?
No, you're good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to try not to touch my microphone while I touch it.
Yeah, there we go.
Never, ever touch a microphone, ever.
Okay, so here I am touching my microphone and yet not touching it. It's like Schrodinger's cat, but less harrowing.
Oh,
smart girl.
Hey, I edited a book about quantum physics last year.
You had a what?
I edited a book about quantum physics last year. Yeah, nice. We did a biography of Richard Feynman. I had to read up on quantum electrodynamics. It was a pretty great month.
Holy shit.
Yeah, man. Yeah. We talked about that last week, so let's just move on.
I know, right?
And I had a crazy month like that, too.
Yeah.
So just to wrap up quickly, Mark is a great believer in the comics form, and he grew up in Europe, and he likes the European model where comics can be about anything and not necessarily restricted to the sort of traditional genres and formats that we have in the U.S. So he was really interested in sort of furthering the indie model or the European model in the U.S., and that's what we're all about.
Cool. Let's talk about some of the books that you guys have either just coming out or coming out soon. First one, I think, did this come out this week or last week?
I believe it's out this week.
Yeah, Legends of Zeta the Space Girl.
Nice. Yay.
So what can you tell us about this book? I mean, I know this is a sequel to Zeta the Space Girl.
It is. So in Zeta the Space Girl, which is a middle grade, which is to say for younger readers, graphic novel, although in my humble opinion, it has a lot to offer to everyone, mostly because it's awesome and cute. So in the first one, Zeta is a humble earthling, and she gets sucked through a portal in time and has to save her little friend who's sucked with her, who is abducted by an alien doomsday cult who are going to throw him into a sun. I forget the exact particulars. It's been a while since I've read the first one. Yes, no, I know. It's wholesome fun for the whole family. Yeah. So she succeeds. And then in the second one, it's this sort of great metafictional treatment about fame for the younger set, because basically she's become this intergalactic hero. She's a celebrity and everybody knows her name, but she's learning sort of the pitfalls of celebrity and of notoriety. And she ends up swapping places with a robot doppelganger.
Oh. Yes. Jennifer Aniston did the same thing, actually.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
And her recent harrowing adventures in relationships.
Oh.
Read the tabloids, guys.
This is actually based. It's like a sort of rip from the headlines treatment of Jennifer Aniston's life. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See?
Yeah. If you guys like Friends or Picture Perfect or anything like that, you love Legends.
Real quick, Alex, you need to update your Jennifer Aniston backlog. She's done Picture Perfect was in like the mid '90s, if I remember correctly. Okay. Yeah.
There's actually a third Zeta the Space Girl book in production right now, and that one is a thinly veiled retelling of the Tomcat saga.
Oh, nice.
It's really not.
Tomcat is Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe everyone is not as obsessed with this story as I am.
No, well, I am, I guess, but I guess no one else. Because I imagine you picturing like a tabby cat with a monocle or something. Like, oh, that Tomcat saga. Oh, man.
That's crazy. That's exactly what I was picturing.
I know. I can read your British, your vaguely British mind.
Thank you. This is something I always find kind of interesting. Inside of, you know, the DC Marvel comic book industry, there's always a lot of discussion about how can we reach younger readers? Why aren't kids reading comic books? But it feels like in publishers like First Second and also outside of that specific sphere, there's a lot of all ages stuff going on. So what are the sales like and how are you guys reaching kids?
We actually do really well in that market. You know, I think part of it is that we've made a conscientious effort to reach out to librarians and educators. They have become huge boosters of First Second in particular, and also a lot of them are just boosters of the graphic novel and comics form for kids generally. You know, there was this huge explosion in the market about, I want to say 6 years ago, around the time that First Second was founded, when Scholastic published the collected and colorized versions of Bone and sold, I don't know, like 500,000 copies of that in the first year, something ridiculous. And so then everyone else in the children's publishing industry sort of said, oh, look, money to be made. Comics, that sounds easy and fun. What a wide profit margin there must be. And as you can imagine, there were a lot of disappointed editorial directors and publishers looking at sad budget lines a couple years down the road. But the good news is that the people who have sort of managed to stick it out and really do right by children's comics have found a really robust market, and it's only getting bigger. You know, I think the stigma of sort of the comic as the domain of the 20 to 40 year old fanboy is sort of fading. Yeah. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was cheering.
Some of my best friends are 20 to 40 year old comics fanboys. In fact, most of them. So, you know, but there is this wider audience and we're finding it.
Yeah, cool. It does seem like it's changing a little bit. I was chatting with Andrew Zimmern, the guy who does Bizarre Foods, earlier today, and he's releasing a book where they specifically put in what he called like graphic novel type sections because they wanted to appeal to a younger audience. So it does feel like it's reversing a little bit, or at least coming around.
Yeah, totally. And Wimpy Kid is the other mm-hmm. huge factor here. I mean, that Wimpy Kid is really more of a hybrid because there's big chunks of prose text in it, but a lot of people consider that a comic. And, you know, if you squint, it kind of is. And I mean, book has just been a gargantuan success. So
they
that's
released a new
away.
Movie of that like every 4 weeks.
I know, it's crazy.
Also known as a month.
Cool. Thank you for translating.
No, I'm happy to reach all of our viewers. Yeah. I mean, listeners.
However you can break down time for people.
Yeah, a lot of people have different notions of time, like New York Minute.
I prefer... That's 2 fortnights, right?
Yeah, 2 fortnights. Yeah, very thinking, more high-minded, related. Folks. Yeah. Couple fortnights.
Cool. Let's move on with another book that First Second is publishing. This is one that's actually coming out pretty soon called Sailor Twain. Now, this is a book actually by Mark Siegel, the head of the company. So he forced this through, right?
He did. It's a piece of crap, and we're only publishing it because he's our boss. wait, I'm not supposed to say that.
Yeah, your mic is working now.
This book is amazing. Mark, I mean, in addition to being a sort of a visionary publisher and editor, Mark is a phenomenally talented artist himself and a wonderful storyteller. And yes, there's a lot of breasts in it. It's true. This book is
now
full
of
titties.
That's what I call sales.
I just want to point out Scott's first contribution to the show so far was pointing out a boob.
That's not quite right. Before I was even really introduced, when she mentioned Schrodinger's cat, I was like, smart girl, which is, in retrospect, the worst, most hateful thing I could say. Let me just now apologize.
So far, you've said smart girl and then pointed at titty. Okay.
Guys, I apparently
think that's
on the
about
brick.
All we have for you.
I apologize. It's kid friendly, except for the illustrations of
Right. Pills, so maybe I should specify this is a book for grown ups. It actually has a quote by John Irving on the front because
holy shit.
Mark randomly called up his agent and John Irving answered the phone.
And John Irving's
what?
Quote.
Yes.
John,
no, I'm not
really?
Even kidding. And Mark said, hi, I really admire your work. Could you read my book and blurb it? And John Irving said, no, I don't ever do that. I have a policy against doing this. I haven't done it for 30 years. And Mark said, okay, well, I'm just going to send it to you because I think you would enjoy it.
Wow.
And
he was like, well, I also opened my own mail, so.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, yeah. And I'm my own agent.
I'm going to defend myself now. This is the blurb that he wrote. A gripping novel with compelling characters enhanced by haunting, and here's the thing, erotically charged drawings.
Nice.
So John Irving agrees with my flip through.
Your estimation was it was for kids.
Yeah. His original blurb was titties.
Yeah. Smart girl titties is what his original blurb was.
Yeah, no, there is a mermaid in this book and she doesn't wear a shirt, so.
Mermaids never wear shirts.
They don't.
Yeah. Except Little Mermaid.
Shells.
Right. Those are shells.
Little.
Aaron, point that out, you creep. Except Little Mermaid won't take her shells off. Says Alex Salmon.
Yeah, if you want to erase that on all the covers and put my quote about the Little Mermaid that Justin just made up for me on there, that would be great.
Thank you for saying my quote.
This is a great book. One of the things that I think is really cool about it, for those of you, what is it coming out again? Is it
in October?
In October. One of the things that's really cool about it is it deals with New York mythology, and some of it's made up, some of it is not historical fact, but sort of the time, and it's a little bit of a mix. But there's stories that are somewhat mixed up with the actual story that's going on, so it's almost like bonus content right in the thing. It's very cool.
Yeah, Mark became an enormous nerd for Hudson River history. This takes place around the turn of the century, and it most of the action happens on an enormous steamboat that's going up and down the Hudson River. And it's amazing.
Yeah,
he's been
steam
just
fan in the house
in this
tonight,
stuff.
Cheering.
Oh, seriously?
Someone went.
Steamboats are great.
Okay, yeah.
Someone cheered when they said steam. Yeah.
So he's been a little hard to be around for the last year because I keep getting a snootful of Hudson River Valley lore every time I turn around. I don't know. It's great. The book is amazing. And if you're at all a nerd for local history, it's pretty incredible in that respect as well.
Cool. Last thing to talk about, this is one that's not coming out for a little while, I think, but it's been pretty highly anticipated, is graphic novel adaptation of A Wrinkle in Time by Hope Larson.
Nice. Yeah.
And when is this coming out again? Is
that also in October.
Also October?
On the exact same day as Sailor Twain.
Oh, boy.
Big day.
Which do you think is going to sell more?
Perhaps your bosses.
I'd like to recuse myself on that.
Right. Good move.
Well, talk about this. Why was it time to make a graphic novel adaptation of A Wrinkle in Time, and how did that come about?
Well, it is the 50th anniversary.
Oh.
So there's been, this whole year has been sort of a bonanza of Wrinkle in Time publishing. First Second's parent publisher is Macmillan USA, which is this gargantuan multinational conglomerate that, well, the U.S. arm of a gargantuan multinational conglomerate. And our sister imprint is Farrar, Straus, Giroux Books for Children. And they are the original publisher of A Wrinkle in Time. So when the 50th anniversary rolled around, they did a bunch of other reissues and special editions and decided that also it would be kind of amazing to do a graphic novel adaptation. So that's what this is. Hope Larson... the book is published by Farrar, Straus, Giroux. We, at First Second, kind of consulted on it and actually suggested Hope for the gig because we thought she was just so perfect for it. She has such a great sense for children's literature and for the sort of, like, poetic, quirky quality that A Wrinkle in Time has. I mean, I'm a huge fan of the book, so it's just been such a pleasure to watch it turned into a graphic novel.
It was one of my favorite books when I was growing up as well, all of the series.
Yeah, I would say, and this is going to make me sound real dumb, but starting to read this over on the train, I had flashbacks of reading the novel as a kid and, like, slowly getting this headache as I was reading it.
When you were a kid?
When I was a kid. Here, I was like, oh, I can feel the headache starting, but it's pictures, so I can, you know.
Why did you get a headache?
Well, it's very complicated. There's a lot of math going on.
And the word, the word mitochondria, when I was like, holy shit, what is that? Is that real? And then I looked it up, and it is real.
I know. Yeah. I totally didn't think it was real the first time I read those
books. Yeah, the way she writes, Madeline L'Engle writes it, it's like, this sounds pretty fake.
Well, also, because I think there's one point where his mitochondria are being invaded by, like, sinister angels, right? Is that a thing? I don't know.
That's the part I believe when I was a kid. I just didn't believe in the biology. I'm a dreamer.
Cool. Well, pick this up in October and that on October. Scott, let's chat with you a little bit.
I have to redeem myself.
Yes.
Good luck.
In the ears of our listeners.
Well, here, let's start off with this. You were telling me that before you wholeheartedly got into comics, you would read them on Wikipedia.
Well, sort of, yeah. So when I was a kid, I watched the TV shows. I was never buying comics as a kid. And when I first moved to New York, I was couch surfing and I stayed with a friend who had just a ton of trades. So I read, like, in a 2-week period, like, all the best things from Hell and Watchmen and Killing Joke and all that sort of stuff. And then I was like, oh, I like comics. I read, like, a bunch of Ultimate stuff. And then I stopped and didn't, because I never had to pay for them. And I was like, I don't want to pay for these. And then a couple of years ago, I ran out of things to read on the internet. Like, I have, like, a bookmark list of, like, 10 sites that I visit. And I was like,
yeah,
oh.
Well, a couple of years ago, they stopped making new stuff.
you don't understand the time I waste on the internet. I was like, this 10 sites not filling it. So I got into a pattern where I was like, well, there's nothing else for me to read. I'm just going to go on Wikipedia and just read the entry for the Hulk. And I don't know if you guys, you probably don't, but most of the people in the audience don't do this. They're like, if you were to print them out, they'd be like 30 pages long.
Yeah.
And they're total fucking nonsense. It's just like, and then the Siege Perilous, and then these characters you don't understand. So for that, like, yeah, for at
nonsense
least,
to many, to us, it's religion almost at this point.
Yeah, I gotta say, I'm impressed. That's pretty hardcore.
It's like the least hardcore because I wasn't actually reading comics. And then
it's like picking up a newspaper, reading the headline, being like, I get this. I don't need this.
or it's like reading, the Reader's Digest version of the headlines from, like, years ago.
Right, Reader's Digest, but written by, like, anybody. Written by some idiot.
Yeah, and I did that, and then the thing that changed it for me was I got an iPad, and Marvel has the 99-cent Mondays, and honestly started listening to this show and was no, it's totally true. I was running, I was jogging. I started jogging, you might not be able to tell, and I was like, I need podcasts. And then I listened to some podcasts.
You listen to us while jogging?
I
gotta run away from this.
I can guarantee you right now that someone listening to my voice is jogging.
Yeah, you're right.
Jogging.
We strive for people to go the extra mile. I put in subtle subtle running messages while I speak over the course.
Keep going. You can do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I just say that
finish this hill?
Yeah. Or the opposite is just like, really, you could just stop. Yeah. Just stop. Why are you doing this? Just walk home and keep listening to this funny podcast. Yeah. Just walk. Yeah. There's, it's fine.
Just walk and get a hamburger, idiot.
My
That's
favorite,
what I often say.
My favorite
show.
Song to listen to when I jog is the extended theme remix of the Katamari Damacy video game.
Oh,
where
wow.
it just goes, na, 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 Katamari Damacy. And the best part is when they go, don't worry, do your best. And I'm always like, yeah, yeah, I'm doing it.
That's so funny.
Doing my best.
And when you do that, do you start rolling up stuff?
Yeah.
Going?
Well, I tried.
That game does feel like exercise when you're
seriously.
Playing.
Yeah,
it's actually not though. I learned. Your life has really turned around from the beginning of that story to the end.
You got an
iPad, started running, buying comics
you're
online.
Welcome. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, so. Congratulations, Scott. That's why we brought you here.
Hey, Scott.
Yeah, you've made it.
Yeah. And maybe if you're listening while you're running, you're a winner.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
Keep
so,
it going.
So hard.
Don't forget to stretch after.
Oh, yeah, that's super important.
And for God's sake, stay hydrated.
I had a weird experience listening to the podcast, though, because I listened to all of the current episodes, and then I was like, oh, I need more because I'm running so much at this point in my life. So I went backwards for like 9 months, and I would listen to you guys review stuff, and then like an hour later, I would listen to you guys preview it, and then like 2 days later, I'd listen to you guys be like, I don't know, I'm a little skeptical of that fear itself crossing.
That's so funny. I love that. Oh, that is us. That's us. Well, Pete's skeptical of literally everything, and then eventually he loves most things. Right?
Sure. Why not?
Guys, I think
Except
we're move
you're
on.
Being skeptical right now. It's perfect.
Yeah, later on you'll love it. Okay, guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which you're going to be skeptical of and then love, which we like to call the stab. All right. So in the stack, we are going to talk about some books that came out this week that we particularly liked. First one we're going to talk about, this Pete's pick, Chew number 28 from the Image Comics.
Chew!
So, Pete, in this issue of Chew, what do they eat?
Oh, man. Not much eating going on in this issue.
What? A
lot of fighting, mainly by a badass rooster and Pollo.
Yes, for those of you who aren't reading Chew... This tells you barely anything about Chew, but there is a cyborg rooster named Pollo who works for the, not the FDA anymore, or does work for the FDA?
No, I don't think, wait, I think he's moved on.
This rooster has a job?
Rooster has a job.
Yeah.
He's the most elite secret agent in the world.
Yeah.
Does it come with benefits and 401k or?
Yeah, it comes with benefits. You know what
Well,
I mean.
This rooster doesn't think about his future as much as other humans.
No, he should.
Yeah,
in
I know,
these
right.
times.
He gets paid.
Pete, what'd you like about this issue?
I like all the rooster fighting. There's nothing.
Cockfighting.
Boothman.
You know, we
cool
got
it, Boothman.
That is actually what it's called, right?
Stop yelling cock.
Fighting.
So anyways, I just think it's right. This comic is so creative. So well done. Every time it makes me laugh, and I enjoy it. So I'm glad I'm able to talk about how great it is. As far as what's going on right now,
nice. Me too.
I mean, it's kind of a dense thing. Chew, the main character, is a little under the weather, so it's kind of about the surrounding characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he's in a coma. He got beat the fuck up.
Oh, yeah, coma is not exactly under the weather.
It's way under the weather. Super deeply
under
the weather.
Yeah, that's like your mom calling up and be like, oh, my son's a little under the weather. Well, he's in a coma.
Well, he wasn't. He's not entirely under a coma. He's like hallucinating in it, right?
Yeah,
well, he just
came out of the coma.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I'm not familiar with the continuity. Yeah. I got to read up on Wikipedia.
What did you think about this book?
Chewed Wikipedia entry.
This... Yeah, you should listen to this podcast about it. This comic, you ever watch the TV show Duckman?
Yeah.
No, just you, Pete. Okay, good. Well, listen up, because it's just like Duckman to me, this comic. It's sort of like pretty crazy, and then it moves through a bunch of like, it's like a lot of jokes, and I don't know much about what's going on.
Well, it's because you don't read along with the issues. You pick it up every once in a while.
Yeah, you know, I don't read it at all until this issue.
Right.
So that's why I didn't quite know what was going on. Like a lot of things in life. You have to experience them to know.
Chew is a great series.
Yeah.
Have you been reading Chew?
No.
Cool. You guys, you should read Chew.
I know.
I thought it was funny. There were a lot of like shit-eating grins in the issue. There were lots of people who were like funny smiles.
I love a funny smile.
Yeah.
It's a great comic. You'd probably at this point, I think, have to go back to the beginning. It's not really new reader friendly because it's so dense.
Well, there is a Pollo one shot you could start from that really just will catch up.
That is true. It is about him.
You
going
love
on
that
adventures.
Rooster.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about our next pick. This was Justin's pick. AVX, Avengers versus X-Men.
Yeah. Yeah.
Marvel Comics. Pass that over to you guys. So, Justin, why was this your favorite issue of?
Whoa! I just picked it because I thought we should talk about it.
Yeah. There's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on,
there's
Alex.
There's things to talk about.
You can't just read about it on Wikipedia. You got to talk about it, Alex.
All right.
So the Avengers and the X-Men are fighting.
Oh, man.
I know. It's a big thing. Well, the big...
I hate it when your parents fight in front of you.
Oh, that's... that is sad when it really happens. In this issue, it's sort of... Cyclops is the only one with the Phoenix power left.
Spoiler, dude. Jesus.
Well, we're talking about this issue.
All right.
The Avengers are sort of winning, and then Cyclops sort of freaks out.
Yeah.
And it kills Charles Xavier.
Yeah, that's a spoiler.
Yeah,
that
that's
is.
A big spoiler.
And
then
becomes
Professor X is dead.
Then becomes Dark Phoenix.
How did you meet him?
All three of you.
By the way, he wasn't happy when I told him that they killed him in the.
Did you tell him that?
Yeah.
You told Patrick Stewart that they killed Professor X?
Yeah, he wasn't happy.
What did he say?
He said, "I'll come back."
Oh.
Wow, confident. Wow. Yeah. I love that confidence.
He didn't say his catchphrase, Magneto.
He was like, Magneto.
Am I an idiot? I mean, I've just gotten into these last
year. Wait, so before you finish, yes.
Okay, thanks, Pete.
No,
I'm a misogynist, maybe not an idiot. I'm not a misogynist, really. I read this issue, and I think I enjoyed it more than you guys, but I read this issue, and then afterwards I was reading, like stories on the AP about it, and they're like, Professor X is dead, and I was like, oh, shit, Professor X died? I didn't get it, because, there's so much fire, and he's killing everyone, and it's like, is Magneto also dead? Like, like Scarlet Witch is like, I'm gonna shoot you with my magic, and he's like, ow, and then unleashes, like, a tidal wave of fire, and Scarlet Witch is, like, blown backwards, and I'm like, is she dead? By the logic that Professor X is dead in this issue, everyone should be dead, except for Scott Summers.
I actually agree with you, because when I first read this, I was like, oh, Professor X is hurt. I didn't know. I didn't think, oh, he's definitely dead. So, and then everyone later told me, like, oh, he died. And I was like, oh, I guess. Because, like, it seems really easy for him to not be dead.
Yeah, I don't know so much about that moment. I will say I actually kind of like this issue.
I thought it was definitely one of the better ones.
Yeah,
I liked
the thing that I liked about this issue in particular is they've taken Scott Summers to this place where he's being set up as the big bad guy. But I actually think Bendis, who wrote this issue, Brian Michael Bendis, did a good job of forcing him to a point where he kills Xavier. Like, he still crosses a line, but the entire issue is like, stop it. Stop it. I don't want to fight you. Stop it. And everybody's like, come on, we got to hit him harder.
Well, Professor X is being sort of a dick. He's like, Scott, put away your toys.
Yeah.
No more playing around. This is over.
Yeah.
And Scott's like,
go
no,
sit in the
stop
corner.
It.
He's like, no, I don't want to.
Yeah. I think they did a good job of balancing it. I thought that was nice. And the art's very
good. A real powerful moment when Scott was like, now I know how Jean felt. I was like, oh my God. But then it was kind of ruined. I felt like when it was like Dark Phoenix. Like, what? Really? We got to put the Dark Phoenix thing? I felt like that ruined it a little bit.
Well, that was a major thing for Jean became Dark Phoenix.
Yeah, but we get it. He's evil. Do we have to say dark in front of it? Why can't he just...
Well, the thing that was weird about the Dark Phoenix is that he was like, I'm the Phoenix, and it was a black bubble and the big, giant words, and then Beast, really tiny, small, Dark Phoenix.
Yeah. Technically, you're the Dark Phoenix. Yeah. I was like, what? Why did that undercut what was happening?
All right, let's move on. This is my pick, Rocketeer Cargo of Doom, number 2 from IDW. Now, I talked about this a little bit last week at the end of the show. Yes, I did.
You previewed it, Scott.
Yes, I previewed it. Mark Waid, Chris Samnee on art. Basically, what's happening is Rocketeer is embroiled in several things that are going on.
He is embroiled. That's the same word I would have used.
There's, as you might imagine from the title, there is a Cargo of Doom. I'll spoil it here because it's just so ridiculous. There are Tyrannosaurus Rexes and other dinosaurs.
Many dinosaurs,
with guns that are going to destroy.
Wait. The villain here is this long-haired dude, and he's like, we need to capture the Rocketeer. And
he's a pirate, right?
He's sort of a pirate. He's a boatman, a sailor.
Yeah. It should seem like maybe he's
a boatsman.
Vampire, possibly.
He could be a vampire.
Yeah.
His boss is this fat guy who you don't really see, and the fat guy's like, get this cargo.
Yeah, but
his
name is Fisk.
Yeah. Get this cargo. I don't think so. He said, get this cargo
What's
to New York. He's like,
guy's name?
I got to get this. I want to get this rocket from the Rocketeer. And then at the end of the issue, he reveals his plan, and he's like, I want to get these rockets on these dinosaurs' backs.
Yeah, he wants rocket-powered dinosaurs to attack New York. That's the coolest thing ever.
Dinosaurs are scary plenty.
And they're scarier with guns.
They don't know how to run a rocket pack.
How do you know?
I mean, it seems like that dinosaurs with guns would be scarier than dinosaurs with rockets.
I agree.
If you saw a Tyrannosaurus Rex rocketing straight towards you...
Wait, did you say you were wrong, Pete?
I was wrong.
You were wrong?
Yeah, I was wrong.
What about all that waving that just happened a minute ago?
Yeah, well, I was trying
anyway,
to...
this is great. Chris Samney's art in this is fantastic.
He's awesome.
As soon as you
him.
Say Mark Wade and Chris Samney, I'm in. That's an amazing team.
Great team.
Yeah.
And as soon as you say dinosaurs and rocket packs, I'm confused, though.
Confused?
Yeah.
Because it didn't in dinosaur times, they didn't have rocket packs yet.
That's exactly right. I'm a real stickler for history.
It was bold of the boatsman to be on the wing of a plane.
Yeah, that's he doesn't belong up
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that was confusing.
Well, yes.
Sorry, I have more dinosaur talk. There are in the first picture, there are pterodactyls. Like, these dinosaurs are going to ruin New York. And then the next picture is the Tyrannosaurus Rex with a rocket pack. Do the pterodactyls get rocket packs?
No, they get motorbikes.
See, I don't know about that.
Yeah, that makes sense. It totally makes sense.
Why? They could fly. They can just...
No, motorbikes.
Why would they want that?
No,
think because you're like... Cool. Well, it's distracting. You're
what
like,
you mean, motorcycles?
Why are the pterodactyls on... Well, motorbikes. It's in the 1920s or whatever.
Yeah, they didn't have motorcycles back then. They just motorbikes.
Yeah. If they probably, you know what, pterodactyls on those bicycles with the big wheels in the front.
Yeah. That'd really slow them down. But they want to be gentlemen.
Yeah, they do. With top hats and monocles.
Here we go. This is Alex Zalvin right here.
There you go. All right, and that's it for the staff. Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to go over to Boothman.
Boothman!
So, Boothman, you got some questions for us?
Oh, do you, Boothman?
I sure do.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, and for the best question, so you guys kind of pay attention to the questions.
Yeah, pay attention.
Question, I'm going to give away this copy of Zeta, the Space Girl.
Ooh.
Legends of Zeta.
If that's allowed.
Awesome.
Yeah, is that allowed? Are you okay with
I think
with
it's
that?
Allowed.
I think
that's
I can swing it.
Don't put it. Can I just look at it for a second?
You put it right in the beer. Yeah.
Hey, cool children,
you
guys. Children.
It's Boothman's
please.
Time.
Yeah. I only get this many minutes. Okay. So, hey. God. All right. This is regarding First Second.
Ooh.
When looking through portfolios, do you prefer to see specialized portfolios like inking, coloring, or a completely creator-owned products?
Good question. The answer is completely creator-owned for the most part. We're not really set up to do the like layout, pencil, ink, and coloring assembly line mode of comics production that you see with your larger houses like Marvel and DC and Image and all of them. We kind of operate in the indie model, which is to say we like people who bring the whole package. We do work with artists who are not authors and authors who are not artists, but when we hire someone to illustrate one of our books, it's generally understood that they're going to be illustrating all stages of the product. Occasionally, we will work with an outside colorist when the circumstances are appropriate, but for the most part, we just like people who can bring the whole package.
But kid-friendly titty samples are...
Yes, absolutely.
Liked.
The more naked breasts, the better.
He has a portfolio of thousands of pages of quote-unquote kid-friendly titties.
if internet bookmarks count.
And in the case of gentlemen, full frontal is encouraged.
Right.
Yeah. Awesome.
That's great.
See,
great news.
Cock is important. See?
It is.
Boothman.
Great. Right. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
If Cap is elected president, who is vice president?
Nice.
For those of you who aren't up on this news, in tomorrow's issue of the Ultimates number 15, end of the issue, Captain America gets elected president of the United States. And then in the next issue, which comes out at some point in the future, he accepts the presidency. So what do you think? Who would be the vice president to President Captain America?
Well, when you're choosing a running mate, you really want someone who's going to open up your ticket.
Uh-huh.
Someone who's going to really...
Yeah, so Red Skull.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah,
bipartisan.
Really
it's bipartisan.
From a different
Nazi
state.
Vote.
Yeah.
It's bipartisan.
Get out the Nazi vote. Vote or die. No, die. Just die.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly with Pete's political stance.
Well, it's a lot. I read a story today about this. It's like, isn't the whole premise of his election that like America has fallen into ruin? I don't read Ultimate Comics, but
it
like,
has. Yeah.
So then, how did this voting happen? I mean, I can't help but wonder
cell phones
if
phones and stuff.
Okay. Oh, that's because I wonder if just Captain America was like, I'm the president now, because that's what all the other guys did in the universe.
Reading the Ultimate stuff, and what happened is everyone died except for, and the person who's the current president is like a minister of agriculture, like a couple times removed. So he's so far down the chain of command that he doesn't actually have a mandate.
So it's like an American King Ralph.
Great. Again, your references are literally decades behind. So it's going to be hard for us to keep up with you.
All right.
So, okay, for you, one old man jogging alone, Alex is speaking your language. And stop before your heart stops is all I can say to you.
I mean, I was going to say, oh, it's just like Why the Last Man. Then I was thinking, oh, that's a little outdated. I should just keep that to myself.
No. Not on this show.
All right.
Yeah, King Ralph is a hot ref.
Yeah.
Great movie, by the way. The whole family dies because they get electrocuted while taking a picture.
It's very funny.
If you haven't seen King Ralph, That happens in the first 3 minutes of the movie, so I'm only ruining the credit sequence, I believe that is.
Any other thoughts on Vice President to Captain America?
Falcon.
Falcon?
Great team up.
Nice. Do you mean the actual Falcon, not
Yeah,
Falcon,
I mean the bird.
The bird.
Oh, like
important bird vote. Gotta get the bird vote. There are a lot of birds you don't even see.
Yep.
Because they're flying.
Yeah, any president who had like a bird as a running mate do real well, I think.
Yep.
Clist, any ideas?
Yeah, I mean, Lex Luthor has the appropriate background. If you want to do like a massive
cross-universe.
Multi-house
cross-universe.
Crossover.
Right.
Then you got to get the DC characters vote.
Exactly.
That way.
If you were president, could you be vice president again?
Why the hell not?
I believe you can.
Yeah,
yes.
You can. So that would work fine. I think that's a great idea. Cool. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics.
Good question.
Good question, yeah.
What movie would you like to, would you like there to be a theme park of that there currently is not?
Oh, boy. Great.
I got this.
Eight millimeter.
Whoa.
Hands down, Babe, Pig in the City.
Oh. Wow.
That's a great idea.
Punisher War Journal.
Yeah. Put those two together.
Yeah, and then Thomas Jane could make a ride of his own a couple years later. Dirty laundry.
12 minutes long, a fucking beauty.
Just a sad ride at his own house.
Dude, fuck you, man. That was brilliant. That was a fucking great piece of cinema.
Stop swearing so much.
Okay.
The Punisher War Journal Park is called my life.
Theme park movie. Jeez.
Theme park movie.
So it's just one movie. It can't
just
be
one just, movie.
How about
Caddyshack?
Could it be a Caddyshack?
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Cool. Yeah, Caddyshack.
It would be like a roller coaster.
Yeah, exactly.
And the second one there was. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh well, shit. I felt so cool for saying Caddyshack, and now you're revealing that I don't know much about Caddyshack 2.
Caddyshack 2 is not held up quite so highly.
Yeah, you're our authority on this. Is Caddyshack 2 in continuity? Is it?
Yep.
It is.
All right. Fuck you.
Whoa. But
I would say maybe Ghostbusters. Keeping with the fun 80s.
That's New York, though. It would basically just be New York with a bunch of ghosts.
A lot of theme parks take
place in reality. The flowers are still standing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You'd have the Marshmallow Man. It would be sweet.
Alex, which one of Jennifer Aniston's movies would you like to
go? I was thinking Picture Perfect.
Oh, you're going to go with your tried and true? Yeah. How about the Breakup? I thought it would be nice.
That's too recent.
Horrible
too
Monsters.
Recent. What's the one?
The Breakup would be great. You could do the duct tape line ride.
No, that's really fun. Yeah, the emotional roller coaster.
Yeah, you guys remember that.
Is it The Breakup or is it some Ben Stiller movie she was in where like the...
Along Came Polly.
Maybe that's
it. You are making fun of me, but you literally know every single movie.
But at least I watch all of them. I didn't stop in 1994.
That makes it better.
Yeah. Is it Along Came Polly where Ben Stiller has a bad marriage?
Yep.
And like the physical embodiment of his bad marriage is that his wife has like 7 pillows on their bed and every day he has to take the decorative pillows off the bed?
Yeah.
I laughed
that's
so hard.
Polly.
What's
up,
Polly
Crew
in the corner?
My wife is in the audience, and every morning it is like my sole chore to put the decorative pillows on my bed.
It's ridiculous. Why do we have all these pillows?
Yo,
I agree.
Play cool,
Pete.
Great. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
Right. That's a good question also.
You ready for this one?
Yeah.
Boxers or briefs?
Boxers or briefs?
That's literally what
it depends on if you're jogging or not. Because if you are, then it's briefs.
I don't own any briefs.
Well, if you're a superhero,
you're all boxer?
It's all briefs.
I
right?
didn't say that.
Yeah.
No, I have all boxers. And one pair of boxer briefs.
Yeah, well, that's the right
But they are
right
very
answer.
Constraining.
Boxer briefs is the right
No,
answer. They're very what, manly?
No, they're very just like everything's just held.
Too great.
Well, but that's why there's the flap you can... never mind.
Wait, but boxer briefs are more constraining because they don't just constrain your junk. They also constrain your
thighs.
That's
what I'm saying. I don't like boxer briefs.
What, you want loosey-goosey? You want
I have a question.
Gentlemen all over the place?
Well, hold on.
Since I have this whole panel of gentlemen, there's something I've always wondered about boxer briefs. Are they basically Spanx for dudes?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, you don't pull them up very much higher than
cotton.
Your belly button.
It's not like it's...
What? Right. Cotton
yeah,
boxer
pretty much.
Briefs?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah, cotton.
No. What are you wearing? Spandex?
Are you wearing satin?
I have what? Yeah, I have satin briefs.
The answer is Spanx. Yeah. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the last question.
No prizes for this one, right?
Yeah, you know what? Since we don't have a prize, I'll give this last person the copy of Legends.
Nice. Good.
Okay. All right. Well, all right.
No.
This doesn't bode well.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Doesn't bode well.
Does Alex have anything to promote?
Oh, fuck me. Are you serious?
Yeah,
that's bullshit.
That's such a great question.
That is bullshit.
I can't believe that. I bet it was his wife.
Get up.
I bet it was his wife.
Was it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Oh, now really I feel great. Like an asshole.
I'm sure literally everyone here, if you're at all involved in anything in comics on the internet, you've been shielded to by Mr. Alex Zellman.
Right. But there's 2 days left. 2 days left.
In 2 days.
What?
By the time this goes up, one day.
No, it'll still be 2 days.
Oh.
I'm going to post it back in time. A wrinkle in
definitely
time
post it back in time.
Now I have a headache.
Kickstarter for an all-ages mystery series called Detective Honey Bear.
Honey and the Bear.
Stop calling it Honey and the Bear. Detective Honey Bear. Detective Honey Bear. And we actually made our first stretch goal, so we're going to be able to do a big first printing of the second issue.
Nice.
And thank all you guys so much. We're hoping now to get enough money to fund the third issue of it. Regardless if that happens, it's been kind of awesome. Hope you guys check it out. That was amazing. Here, take this.
Give this that prize to your wife.
Give the prize that you wanted anyway to your wife.
You know what? Yourself.
Okay, bring it back. What was your favorite question?
Oh, gosh.
You're taking the prize away from your wife?
I think the theme park one, too.
Yeah.
Theme
park. Which one?
The theme park.
Theme park one.
Theme park.
Theme park.
All right, there you go.
Yeah, that other guy we don't know.
This panel is rigged.
Yeah.
Don't even bother coming to our show.
It goes to show. Come to the show and win a prize.
That's it for your audience questions. Thank you, Boothman.
Thank you, Boothman.
All right. Very quickly, we're going to move on to our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek. Okay, first thing to talk about in the Week in Geek, this is something we actually chatted about a couple of weeks ago, but it's been officially confirmed. James Gunn is directing Guardians of the Galaxy for Marvel.
Yeah.
So I think we've gotten your
input. Tom Gunn?
I'm curious to hear from you guys.
Tim Gunn.
Any thoughts on James Gunn on Guardians of the Galaxy or not enough?
Top Gun.
Super cool name. No idea who he is.
No idea? Yeah. James Gunn directed Super and The Specials and Slither and other things that start with S.
It's still... No.
He's an actual gun.
The only reason I know about Slither is because Nathan Fillion takes off his pants in that movie.
Hell yeah, he does.
Is he boxers or briefs?
I don't remember.
Oh. You passed out because you were so excited.
It's possible.
What do you guys think? Any additional thoughts now that he's been confirmed? Warnings for him on getting it right?
Yeah, I have a couple warnings. Always tip your white waiters and bartenders.
What? That's specifically about Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah, this is specific. I have a long list.
Guardians of the Galaxy, just so you know, is at a restaurant.
Oh, it's not?
No.
I've been missing.
Did you think it was a restaurant at the end of the universe?
Yeah.
He's thinking about Dumplings of the Galaxy.
Yeah, I love Dumplings. I think we talked about it before. It's a tough group of characters because no one knows them, and it's probably going to take place in space.
And none of them are human beings, right?
One of them's a tree. One of them's a raccoon
and a giant green
monster.
Yeah,
there's
monster.
One guy, Star-Lord, who's a human being.
Awesome.
But he wears a mask, so you can't see his face.
Okay. I can't wait.
I think it'll be great. Another thing to talk about, Max Landis, who wrote Chronicle, which was great, a proto-meta superhero movie.
Good movie.
Is doing a show called Vigilante that is about the rise of a vigilante, a woman who gets fed up with all the crime in her town.
Hell yeah.
It got announced as it's a kind of superhero show. He took to Twitter and basically said, stop it. It's not a superhero show. It's not a superhero show. It's like calling Taxi Driver a prequel to Spider-Man 3 is how he described
it.
What?
Yeah. So here's my question for you. I mean, his point was that the idea of superhero is now so permeated pop culture that it's being used to promote everything, even when it's not valid. What do you think about that?
I can understand his anger. I would hate if I created something and felt it was one thing, somebody else is calling it something else. But it is understandable trying to sell movies that are popular putting in another genre that does well, so hopefully it'll boost his sales. So that's a little why I feel it's conflicting. You know what I mean?
And when you, if you boil it down and it's like, oh, it's someone who's like becoming a vigilante, then I can see
kind of like what a superhero
it's
is.
What a, yeah.
They get fed
and
up.
And that's an
with
easy way for, to sort of get across what's going to happen. And I imagine he's upset by it because a lot of people who are like sort of over comic book stuff, like maybe adults or like people who watch TV. Specifically at night, older people would probably be like, oh, superhero show? Not interested.
Yeah.
I think actually that's a fair point. If anything, he probably doesn't want to be compared to, like, The Cape or Heroes or any of those.
Because if you remember, comic book or superhero shows on TV, not so hot in the old track record department. Yeah.
It's weird how this sort of thing develops, though. Having been on the other side of it, I was at San Diego Comic Con this summer, and we were premiering a graphic novel called Bloody Chester, and we had the author there promoting it, and people would come by and they'd say, well, what's this book, Bloody Chester? And I'd say, it's kind of like Deadwood, but more upsetting and with teenagers. And the author would say, it's a coming-of-age story. You know, we had different takes.
That's really funny.
Last thing to talk about coming out this Friday is Dread 3D.
Hell yeah.
Starring Dr. McCoy, right?
What? Yeah, with Dr. McCoy. And I got to tell you, I actually got to see the entire movie at San Diego Comic Con.
What?
Yeah, they had an advanced screening of it. And it's awesome.
Really?
It's so
good.
Do you
see everything in advance, you piece of shit?
Oh, yep, pretty much.
They had
Looper last week. Not going to talk about that yet.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but Dread is great. I just want to encourage people because I feel like it's flying a little under the radar, but it plays out like an awesome late 80s, early 90s action movie.
Of course.
Shut up.
Yeah. Of course you like it. Yeah. Because they don't have cell phones in it, so you understand it.
But it's really good. It's the last movie, the Judge Dredd movie with Sylvester Stallone, obviously was terrible.
Well, what is Rob Schneider doing this?
Yeah, what's Robbie doing in this?
Rob Schneider stars in another movie.
Totally.
I object to the contention that was a bad movie. I went to that on my birthday. It's the last childhood birthday I remember, and
wait,
I remember only three things
That's
about
not
that
good,
birthday.
Man.
Yeah, and I started getting drunk early. There are only three things I remember. We went to see Judge Dredd. We got pizza by the foot, which was
hell yeah.
3-foot square pizza.
Is that like fruit by the foot? So it comes in a...
No, it's like a 3-foot square pizza. It's like 1 foot wide and 3 feet long. And we got that. And we also
you
had,
can add feet.
And we also had Crystal Pepsi.
Wow.
And it was
It was the coolest birthday ever. It was my second best birthday
ever.
I'm
so jealous.
No, first.
Yeah, Judge Dredd. So stop that.
So
Judge Dredd 3D is not going to compete with that shit.
You know what? The three of us, for your birthday this year, are going to take you out for Crystal Pepsi, Pizza by the Foot, and Dread 3D.
Alex has a ton of Crystal Pepsi at his apartment. He's the only thing keeping him living in the era he loves.
Watch Picture Perfect, pop a Crystal Pepsi.
Pop a Crystal Pepsi.
It's a good time. All right, that's it for the Week of Geek.
Yeah.
Guys, we're going to move on to the next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
All right.
Yeah.
Guys, this is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a comic to Midtown Comics, in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like a chance to win $25 free? Simply raise your hand. So easy to win. It's simply raise your hand. We need a hand to be raised. All right, yes, you, sir. Come on up.
Come on up.
What is your name, sir?
Navin,
audience, Navin.
Nice to meet you, stranger.
Okay, so today's trivia is on first, second books. Mm-hmm. How this is going to work is I'm going to read you the question. You listen to all three possible answers. Mm-hmm. Go 3 for 3. You win $25 free. I'll put that right here for
awesome
you
deal.
As incentive. Nice. All right? Here we go. Thank you, Boothman. Which book was awarded Best Graphic Novel of the Year? Is it A, Orcs? B, Broxo? Am I saying that right? Is it B,
R? That's correct.
Okay, right. Cool. Or is it C, The Bible? So it's either A, which is what I would pick because it's correct, or it's B, Broxo.
I'll go with A.
A is correct.
Yeah, nice.
Okay.
Nice idea.
Question number two. Which was on Oprah's reading list for ages 6 to 9? Is it A, Broxo, B, Robot Dreams, or is it C, A Smurf-tastic Christmas? So it's either A or it's Robot Dreams.
It's Robot Dreams.
Yes, it is Robot nice. Dreams.
This is uncanny.
Question number three. Which amazing graphic novel is about escaping your fate? Is it A, Three Shadows, B, Broxo, or is it C, a book called Escaping Your Fate? So it's either A, which is the correct answer, or B, I put Broxo in there three times because it's awesome and I love it.
It is awesome, right?
Or Broxo, yeah. I'll go with A.
A is correct.
Yeah.
$25, $3. Congratulations.
Broxo got no love. Congratulations.
Fantastic. Pete, what's Broxo about?
Broxo gets no love.
Oh, it's funny. It's funny
like
you should bring that up.
With teenagers.
Yeah.
It's what?
Nothing.
Oh. It's about a barbarian who is kind of on his own and, you know, has to find ways to kick zombie ass.
Yeah, he has to find ways.
Yeah. Because sometimes you run out of
ideas.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, oh, I'm so sick of hitting him in the head.
Yeah, it's like, what creative new way?
I just want to put him on an island or something.
Yeah, or maybe I could throw records at him or something.
Yeah,
but you got to pick which record first, you know?
Because you don't want to pick the good one. Oh, because Alex lived in the 90s. You're living in the late 60s, apparently.
No, that's Shaun of the Dead.
So yeah, thank you.
Early thousands.
Yep.
No, I mean, because that's when records were popular.
Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Hellblazer.
That was
any particular reason?
Say no more, Pete.
It's amazing. It's constantly
it's
good.
Amazing.
Peter Milligan does a fantastic job writing this comic, and I am always happy with it.
Great. Justin, what are you looking forward to?
Oh, I'm looking forward to Unwritten number 41. What up, along came Polly Corner, loving that shit. It's a great book. It's just sort of finished the first of its new long arc, first story arc of that. So go back and read at least the last four issues and then pick it up because it's a really smartly done, great book, stands on its own.
Cool. I'm looking forward to Wonder Woman number 0 is coming
Hell
out tomorrow
yeah.
from Brian Azzarello and Cliff Chiang. And I've actually gotten a sneak peek of it.
Of course you did. Of course you got it in advance.
Oh, sorry.
Of course.
Alex, how am I going to die?
How are you going to die?
Tell me how I'm going to die.
I'll tell you next week on the show.
Am I going to die before that?
I only do things 1 week in advance.
Do I get to kill him?
I'll tell you next week.
Okay.
Wonder Woman Note Zero, the thing that's so great about it, beyond it being Brian Azzarello and Cliff Chiang, is they do the Zero issue as if it took place in the Silver Age. So they perfectly ape that style. Everybody is saying who they are. Like, it is I, your mother, Hippolyta.
Nice.
And dialogue. It's fantastic. And the issue also fits in perfectly with everything they've been doing regularly in the series at the same time. It's great.
It's amazing series.
Pick it up.
That's cool.
Wonder cool. Woman's Calista, what are you looking forward to?
Dark Horse is publishing this series, Lobster Johnson.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Great I'm obsessed series. With the art. I love that guy.
Really
I can't
good.
Pronounce his name.
Oh, Tonki Zongyuk?
Is that how you say
I
it?
I think so.
Okay. Because Impressive. I just basically, when I try to find his website, which I have to do every now and again to look at it and admire him, I just sort of mash the keyboard, you know, until something comes up that looks right. And then I
That's what
that
his parents
correct.
Did.
Yeah. He's great. He did a series called Who is
Jake Ellis?
Ellis as
yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Wow. And pluck some of your stuff. What should people check out?
Well, we have a book coming out in December that is very special and near to my heart. It's called Sumo, and it's by this amazing guy, Tin Pham, who is a Bay Area cartoonist and simultaneously one of the most bellicose and one of the most charming people I know. And he's made bellicose. This incredible book
bellicose.
About
Look it up.
A washed-up American football player who gets recruited to be a sumo wrestler in a Japanese sumo dojo, basically. And his sort of crazy experience just learning this whole new way of being in the world of sumo, which is a very strange and weird world.
Different than football.
Yeah, and it's just it's simultaneously one of the sort of funniest and sweetest books, and then it's also kind of a rumination on the nature of time and change, and it's very poetic and beautiful.
Ooh. Coming of age.
Coming of age. It's basically like Deadwood, but with teenagers and more upsetting.
More upsetting, Deadwood.
But it's just phenomenal, this book. It is so beautiful, and it's the kind of story that you couldn't tell in any other kind of form except comics. The way that he handles it, he has three parallel stories that are all taking place simultaneously in different sections that are all in different colors. And as the story goes on, the sort of switching off between the three stories gets rapider and rapider. So by the end, it's like panel, panel, panel from the different stories.
Oh, that's really cool.
It's beautiful. I love it. So that's coming out in December. It's called Sumo. It's by Tin Pham. It's just the best thing since sliced comics.
Cool. Scott, what are you looking forward to?
Well, the reality is I'm looking forward to whatever the hell Marvel is selling on 99 Cent Monday. They can count on me for between $8 and $25 every single Monday on my iPad. But based on what's coming out in stores, I guess, Uncanny X-Men, I'm a sucker for the AVX stuff, as nice. Horrible as that makes me, and I've enjoyed all the tie-ins. I'm looking forward to that next week. So, cool.
And plug your stuff. What should people check out?
Well, I perform at the Pit on Wednesdays at 10 and Saturdays at 8. They're cheap shows, so come see them. I also have a pilot in the New York Television Festival, which isn't until October 22nd, the week of October 22nd.
What's the pilot about?
Well, here's the pitch, guys.
Nice.
Yes. Remington Steele with life coaches.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty, it's not even 90s, it's 80s. Yeah, yeah. You know, yeah. It's about two life coaches, and I think it's pretty funny. So if you happen to go to the New York Television Festival and read a blurb about a life coach pilot, watch it, because it's mine.
All I know about life coaches is that literally the worst human being I've ever met in my life is a life coach.
Oh.
He should get a life coach. Yeah, I was just saying you should get a life coach. Let's move on. All right. So next week on the show, we are going to have the whole team from the new anthology books, Epics,
nice.
Including Fernando Ruiz, Fabio Redivo, and Anthony Marquez, who was actually an earlier Boothman.
Former Boothman. Boothman fight.
Yeah.
I will destroy him.
So that should be pretty cool. Anything else we want to plug?
Pete? Give him a hug.
Friend us on Facebook so you get to hear about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live, and for God's sakes, keep running.
ComicBookClubLive.com and also Nerdist.com for the podcast. You're a winner. And a couple of people we want to thank before
we go. Wait, Salvin, you sure you don't want to plug your thing before?
Yeah, you should really check out
my Kickstarter. Probably got 7 emails over the course of the show at home.
It's going to be funny, the jogger who's listening to this in 2013 and like,
yeah,
missed the chance to donate. Yeah.
That's fine. There's probably a new one. Check it out.
Oh, that's confidence, Alex. That's a lot of confidence.
Flipped over the table.
Yeah, just say what you want.
All right, guys, a couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Calista for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Boothman. But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. at Fontana's in New York City. Totally free. Please tell your friends.
Thanks, everybody.